When she arrived in the classroom that day, she very quickly learned that it was actually GSA Art Club, or Gender and Sexuality Awareness. And her trusted teacher had invited in an outside presenter to speak with the children. This presenter started with her number one rule: what you hear in here stays in here.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, and as always, we have a very special guest for you. Her name is Erin Lee, and I don't know her very well, but she is related to some very good friends of mine, and she went through a horrific ordeal. I'm going to let her give you the details, but basically, her daughter was told she might be transgender. Young daughter had just turned 12 years old. And you know, this was a real shock to the parents. It happened in Colorado. Erin, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your courage in speaking out. I understand you have not really been very politically active or outspoken on any of these issues. It just kind of caught you by surprise. But tell us what happened to your daughter in the school district there at Poudre School District in Colorado.
Absolutely. So last May, my daughter had just moved to a new district, new town. It was the height of COVID protocols. She was incredibly vulnerable. She's a shy, artistic, introverted little girl. And one day, her trusted art and homeroom teacher invited her to stay after school for art club. So she texted us and we gave our permission. Of course, you can stay for art club. When she arrived in the classroom that day, she very quickly learned that it was actually GSA Art Club, or Gender and Sexuality Awareness. And her trusted teacher had invited in an outside presenter to speak with the children. This presenter started with her number one rule: what you hear in here stays in here. She then brought out flags to describe different umbrella terms, or defining words, as she called them, and how people feel under each of the flags. She explained to my daughter that if she is not 100% comfortable in her female body, then she's transgender. She then gave out flags, stickers, bracelets, and what she called the obligatory toys that kids love to collect everywhere I go. She then told the kids that parents aren't safe, and that it's okay to lie to them about where they are in order to attend this meeting and also future programming that she holds throughout the community, both online and in person. Some of the programming is actually includes adults. So she's got 12-year-olds in these meetings secretly with adults. She told the kids that she brought out the genderbread activity. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but the genderbread person activity, which explains that gender and sexuality are on a spectrum and that neither can ever be binary. It explicitly asked the kids who they're sexually attracted to. There was 11, 12, and 13-year-olds in the room when this happened. She doubled down that parents aren't safe, that heterosexuality and monogamy are not normal. And she then proceeded to hand out her personal contact information to the kids, encouraging them to connect with her without their parents' knowledge, by cell phone, by email, and by teen chat platforms like WhatsApp and Discord, where parents can't see the communication. She also sends them invites to her secret meetings through these channels. So this predacious stranger, it turned out, had absolutely no qualifications to be speaking with children about sexuality. She's not a licensed therapist or counselor. She's not a full-time teacher in the district. Her only qualification is that she was a lesbian that didn't have this kind of program when she was a kid. So when we picked our daughter up that day, it was clear on her face that something was incredibly wrong. She was uncomfortable. She had just, you know, had her innocence ripped away in a moment. And she had these trusted adults tell her that parents aren't safe and that she shouldn't tell us what had just happened to her. So we're fortunate that we recognized that and that she immediately told us what happened. But we were just caught off guard and completely ill-equipped to help her deal with what had just happened with these trusted adults.
Well, I'll tell you, Erin, that to me sounds exactly like the language that pedophiles use when they're grooming children. You can't talk to your parents about this. It's not safe to talk to your parents about this. I mean, that is so appalling. And it actually, it reminds me of a story I wrote just less than 2 years ago. We caught a teacher on film. Actually, a concerned parent in California sent me this. A teacher in California also was creating one of these, back then, I think it was called the Gay Straight Alliance. That was before they rebranded as the Gender and Sexuality Alliance. And she's on camera talking about how she and her husband were deliberately recruiting the ones she described as the most emotionally unstable kids to lead this LGBT group, and that she was using them as puppets. And I mean, this stuff is not just limited to your district in Colorado. These types of things are happening all across America. So, Aaron, I imagine you were a little bit upset by this, and I would imagine you had some conversations with officials at the school or at the district. What happened? Did you complain, and what kind of response did you get from the school or from the district?
So we somehow remained calm enough to follow the appropriate channels of dealing with an issue like this. We reached out to the woman who had given her personal information to my child, and she doubled down on everything that she did, completely copped to it and was proud of it. Extremely concerning. I never replied to her. So then we went to the principal, and the principal confirmed that they in fact had conducted this meeting in secret, that they always conduct this meeting in secret, because as the public school, they're obligated to provide a safe space for children, essentially from their families. We never sent her back to school the next day. So she never set foot in public school again. We put her in a private Christian school where she's now getting a much better education and doing much better. From the principal, we took it to the school board. The school board ignored our pleas. I stood before them. I cried. I pleaded. I got no response from all seven of them. Repeatedly followed up. Eventually got a sit down with one of our school board members. And as it turned out, this woman is best friends with the woman who was invited into the classroom. In fact, this school board member volunteers with this woman's organization with children as young as 5. So the roots run deep. There is nothing that's been done about this situation. The teacher that invited my daughter into this club is still the GSA sponsor for that school and has had no repercussions. The woman is still out in the community. She's at the Boys and Girls Club. She's in our library system. She is an employee of our county health department with access to children's information. It is a paid position. So absolutely nothing has been done by anyone in the district or beyond to address the situation.
Oh, wow. That is shocking. And so I know you've started speaking out about this. In fact, I heard you did a radio interview on this. What kind of reaction has there been in the community? Are other parents concerned? Is there anything happening?
So there is a small group of parents who is concerned and who has been incredibly supportive of us. There's an even larger group of parents who have condemned me and criticized me and labeled me with all of the names that these programs teach our children we are, right? I've been called intolerant, bigoted, homophobic, transphobic. And as it turns out, these are the words they taught my child to expect me to be. They taught her that your heterosexual monogamous parents are intolerant and therefore we shouldn't tell them this happened and expect their reaction to be negative. And there's been a huge outpouring of criticism from the community, from family, from friends. I've been shocked at how many people can't accept me speaking the truth just to try to inform other parents. And I'll say, you know, another step that I took after following the proper channels was to call the police. Because if this had happened on a playground, that would have been my first call. But because it happened in a school, this person is completely protected. And the police officer who I work with, the sheriff, said, you need to get loud. You need to get a megaphone and you need to make people aware. Just because the law doesn't prevent it, doesn't mean it isn't wrong and that other parents don't need to know about it. So that's essentially what motivated me to speak up.
Well, I'm glad you did. And, you know, even if only one parent hears this and asks their children about it and figures out something's going wrong, you know, it's I think well worth the effort, because what happens with so many of these cases, and I'm sure you've looked into it, is that these children, they're young, they're naive, they're impressionable. And when they hear these things from the teacher, they start to think, well, maybe I am transgender. Maybe I do need to get puberty blockers. Maybe I should consider surgeries. And they become lifelong dependent on this system. They end up getting sterilized. They can never have a family of their own. And it's something that will haunt them for the rest of their lives. In fact, there's a growing group of people now who have gone through this. I've interviewed some of them on this program who were suckered into this and who now live the rest of their lives with the regret of what they did. You know, if you don't mind me asking, Aaron, how is your daughter now? Is she still, you know, troubled by this? Has she been able to put it past her? What's the situation with her now?
So I will say that I've heard a lot of stories around the country of teachers taking this a step further, of, you know, encouraging children to transition, to take those puberty blockers, to mutilate themselves. And We're really fortunate that we caught it before that happened. So there was no physical damage, but there was absolutely emotional damage, right? There's a rift between our child and us that remains because she was taught that we're not safe. She was taught that she can't talk to us about things like this. So that hasn't gone away, but she's doing so much better in a private Christian school. I mean, it's night and day in terms of what she's learning and her friend group and her support in her school. So I can say that she's doing much better, and she supports my speaking out to potentially help other children and families from going through what she has and what we have.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that things are getting better, but yeah, I can understand that that would be traumatic. And, you know, it's just a mental scar there, but you know, for parents out there who are listening, you're thinking, well, I'm safe because I'm in a conservative state or I'm in a conservative district. I was in Utah a couple of years ago and had some meetings with the members of the state school board, and they actually brought me data from the state medical licensing and prescription database. And what it showed was a 10,000% increase in the number of minor girls. These are, you know, children who are undergoing what they describe as a medical transition. So they're pumping these little girls full of puberty blockers. And I mean, these things have lifelong consequences. They have negative health effects. They can sterilize you. They were pumping them full of testosterone. Some of them were either having surgery or were getting ready for surgery. And this is in one of the most conservative states in the country, the state of Utah. So folks, this is a nationwide issue. It's not, you know, people look at Colorado, they think, oh, it's just kind of like California. No, this is happening all across the country. And most parents have no idea. Aaron, what do you say to other parents out there who are thinking, well, you know, I'm probably safe. They're not going to do that to my kids. Do you have any message for them? Any warnings, any thoughts for them?
Yeah. And just to speak to your last point, I live in a conservative suburb of Fort Collins, Colorado. So Fort Collins is pretty liberal, but I live in a little town called Wellington, where known to be conservative. And so this person and the school district targeted our area specifically. They have been very upfront about the fact that because this is a conservative, intolerant, bigoted community, they're pouring all their resources into our local schools. So if you're in a conservative area, you're not safe. This is absolutely happening everywhere. And, you know, as parents, we were just kind of blindly walking through our children's education. We weren't attuned to the fact that this was even a possibility for an 11 and 12 year old. So it completely caught us off guard. And my best piece of advice for parents is, if you have the ability, don't put your kids in public school. Put them in a private school. A charter school is a great option. Homeschool if you can, just because these things are happening intentionally in secret. But also keep those lines of communication open with your children. We're very lucky that our daughter told us what happened, and we fear how many kids out there followed the rule and didn't tell their parents and are suffering with this in silence. So definitely keep that open line of communication. And if they are in public school, be involved. You know exactly what they're going into. If they're attending a club, request that information. Demand that you know who's presenting, what's the content of the program. Even, you know, things as simple as math and PE, they're peppering these concepts into every area of our curriculum. And so we as parents have to be proactive, and we have to request that information before our children are exposed to it. We also have to get up in front of our school boards and be loud, because the vocal minority, are the people who are in favor of this. And those of us who are not in favor of it are afraid to speak up, because exactly what I said, have been, you know, branded as intolerant and bigoted and many things that I'm not. So it's scary to speak up. But if we don't, this momentum will continue to get stronger in our schools.
Yeah, and no question about it, Aaron. And folks, I hope you realize this is not an isolated case. There are a lot of parents who are too scared to speak out because of exactly what Aaron just said. They don't want to be labeled something. They don't want to be targeted by the activists in their community. In California, the UCLA did a study. This came out actually in 2017, 2018. I think it's the Williams Institute, something like that. And they found that 27% of the children in that state, ages 12 to 17, were now gender non-conforming. In other words, they're boys who don't, you know, identify as boys, or girls who don't identify as girls. And when I was growing up in the 1990s, my guess is probably similar for you, Aaron. You know, this wasn't even a concept. I never in my whole life met a child who claimed to be something other than what they were. And I grew up in eight countries on four continents with every kind of kid you could ever imagine. I never in my whole life came across this. And now in California, they say it's 27% of the kids. It's ubiquitous. Aaron, I want to thank you so much for speaking out. I'm so glad that everything worked out okay in your case. And I'm so glad that you've had the courage and the the wisdom to take action and to speak out. Any final words you want to leave the folks with?
Just be involved, be aware, and don't be afraid to speak up. You know, the ridicule has been tough, but it has been worth it. And I hope that if anyone hears this message, they share it with everyone that they know, because we don't know what we don't know. And our community all needs to be aware of this happening in all of our schools.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, folks. That was Erin Lee, mother in the Poudre School District in Colorado. Thank you guys for tuning in. Like she said, please share this. You know that the Twitters and the Facebooks are not going to help this get out there. So we really depend on you folks to get the information out. Email it to your contacts, especially parents who might have children in a public school who may be going through this right now, or whose children may be going through this right now without the knowledge of the parents. Folks, there is a war going on against our children. And until parents speak up and protect their kids, it's going to get worse. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for for following us, for getting this information out there. We'll be back with much more. So subscribe if you're not subscribed yet. Until next time, God bless you all.